I was telling you that we have here feedback, and by the way, feedback has two meanings. When I read your projects and comment what you did, I am giving you feedback. I am telling you about the results, informing, and so on. Here, feedback has to do with a chain of processes where a change, say in security gap, propagates, moves, influences other things, and then hits back. And as I was telling of an example, this is comparable as if you are driving somewhere, say from Lillehammer, where you are, to Gjøvik, then you have a gap, which is the distance between Lillehammer and Gjøvik, and that influences the way you drive, with decisions you take, where you move the wheel, where you choose in the junctions, and so on. And all the time you're doing your actions to close the security gap. After a while, you are halfway between Lillehammer and Gjøvik, and so on and so on. You continue until you reach your goal. And that's the reason why this process is called a balancing feedback process, because it tends to balance by closing the gap between the current state and the goal. Okay, now the point is that technology doesn't solve everything. And many people believe that by investing in technology that cures all the problems with security, but they overlook then the necessity to implement a system to manage the security. So the unintended consequence of a too strong belief in technology can be that the management of security decreases, deteriorates. And this will have the consequence that it will impact sooner or later on technology performance, and therefore also on security. So let's do that with Vensim. Where is Vensim now? Here. So we take the variable information systems security management system, SMS, as we call it, and this happens often because of a too strong belief on technology that this affects the quality of the management in a negative way, simply by forgetting or neglecting the importance of that. And the consequence of this is that over time, this will tend to impact the performance of the technology. But this doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens over time, over a long time. So we need two things. In addition to the polarity, the better the management, the better the technology performance will be. So the polarity is plus. But in addition, we need a delay mark. Here, where you are rounding, that's where I click for delay mark. And this is going to become visible here. This symbol that you see here, these two bars, they are a reminder that the process from here to here comes delayed. It perhaps takes weeks or months or longer until this has a significant impact. So when you see arrows without design, we assume that the influence is quite fast. When you see arrows where you have these bars, it is because we expect or we know that this process is going to come delayed. It will take longer time. Okay. Now let me show you how to put the loops. So if we go here, I want to show you how to indicate this feedback loop. For that, we have this icon called comment that I am highlighting. Click on that, then click on the center here and write the text B for balancing, technology driven security. So that's the text. And here we indicate the loop. There are several things that you can do, but we consider only the two options, loop clockwise, loop counterclockwise. This depends on how you have done the things, because it is your choice. Some people prefer to go this way, other people prefer to go the other way. I did it clockwise, so I put clockwise here. And when I click on that, okay, then I have the loop in principle here, but I have to expand that, because otherwise I cannot read the text. The way to expand this is to grab, click and drag, to increase this until I have like this. There you can position that. Again, it is arbitrary how you have put the variables. If I had gone the other way around instead of this, then the loop will be different. But here, the churning around is like this. But I have created a second feedback loop, because let's go from here, from security gap. It leads me here, and now it could lead me here, and then here, and then here, and then here. So I have a second feedback loop. In addition to this one, I have this one. How does the other feedback loop work? Assume that the security gap has increased because the chief security officer has defined a more ambitious goal for desired security. That means the security gap increases, which means that the more technology investment is needed. But that means that because of the neglect of the management, the quality of the information systems management, information security management system decreases, because this decreases equal polarity, technology performance decreases, because of that security decreases, because of that the security gap increases. So once more, we have a second loop, and the consequence of this loop is if there is an increase in security gap, the whole process along this loop increases the security gap. We have feedback again, but it is a different kind of feedback from the previous one. It is not balancing, it's not trying to close the gap, it is trying to increase the gap. An initial increase in the gap is pushed to increasing even more. So we have a reinforcing feedback loop, one that reinforces the initial change. In Norwegian, they are self-verstärkende. And such kind of loops they are quite nasty, because they are not what we want. They come up as an unintended consequence of some decision that we made. We will call this reinforcing loop, we will sign it with an R. The direction in this case is also clockwise, and we describe the impact of this loop by information systems management security is in the shade of the attention. It's forgotten, so to speak. So let's put in here. Select again the command, click here, R for reinforcing, ESMS in the shade, clockwise loop. And then we expand this until we can read it. We put this next to the one of the lines that characterize this loop. And with some attention and experience, you know, this one is to the loop that encloses it, and this is to the loop that encloses this. So it is this one. Any questions? So, yeah?
So this R loop, that's all the auto loop?
Yes.
From the security gap and
the whole circle? You have to follow the arrows. So this is not a loop. Because here it comes against. So you have to follow the arrows and see if it closes. And again, as an exercise, think that the security gap has increased, perhaps because the desired security has been set higher, or because the actual security has decreased. The security gap increases, more security investment, but because the management system is neglected, this decreases, because this decreases, the technology performance will decrease after some while. Because the technology performance decreases, the security on which the technology performance depends becomes less. Because the security becomes less, the security gap increases. So an increase in the gap, according to this loop, will try to increase. On the other hand, we have a fight, because we have two different things here. We have a process trying to decrease the gap. We have another process trying to increase the gap. The outcome of the two processes, the exact outcome, we cannot say this way, because we don't have the numbers and the impacts. If we want to find out what happens exactly, we will have to make a simulation model so we can simulate and see what happens over time. And that will depend on different companies. In one company, perhaps what happens is that the security improves, but slowly, because you have something opposing it. In another company, perhaps the security even becomes worse and worse, because the impact of the reinforcing loop is the strongest one. So we have a fight between two effects. And the exact outcome is difficult to say, but there's one thing we can say with certainty, and that is, this is not good. Because we have unintentionally set up some opposing mechanism that is making worse for us. That's something that you don't want to do. And one of the things that we discover by these diagrams is that analyzing them, we can discover hidden problems in our solutions. So we are already on the way of thinking as to how to create better security management, because these diagrams can alert us about problems that are there. Let me give you a different example. It comes from somewhere else. You know, air pollution caused by traffic is a big, big problem in many cities in the world, especially in mega cities. And some of the mega cities have very, very bad air quality. As you know, in China, for instance, in Beijing or Shanghai, it is so bad that the people have to wear masks in many days, because the air quality is very bad. So it was also in Mexico City, and actually still. Then, in Mexico City, the authorities came about one idea as to how to improve the air quality. They decided to ration the traffic by imposing that cars of a certain color could not drive on certain days. So for instance, yellow cars couldn't drive on Monday, red cars couldn't drive on Tuesdays, green cars couldn't drive on Wednesday, and it was done in a way that was approximately, it was more colors. So the end, but it was the working days, Monday to Friday. Some colors were not allowed to drive. If they did, they were caught by the police and they had to pay a very high fine. So the idea, they were expecting traffic to decrease by 20% during working days, because they were taking off the cars, according to colors, one day in a week. That was the intended effect. If they had done an analysis like this one, they could have anticipated what happened. What do you think that happened? Yes, what happened was, over time, it took some time, it took months and so, the traffic increased. There were more cars than before and more pollution than before. And the reason was an unintended effect. They were forcing people to leave cars at home, but then what they did is they bought a second car because their public solutions were not good enough. They had to wait for overfilled buses, and the buses didn't go exactly from where they wanted to where they had to go. And also they had coordinated driving work with taking the children to the nursery home, or after coming from work to buying things in the supermarket. So they bought a second car, but you don't buy a new second car just for driving one day in a week. You will buy a wreck, a car that otherwise will be taking off. A car that polluted more. So people will drive as much as before, but then there were two cars in the family. And if you have two cars in the family and several family members, then it happens that several people drive. For instance, you have a daughter or a son and says, "Mom, could I borrow the car? I want to go off with my friend." "Sure." Huh? Then you get more people driving, and in the weekend you have also two cars and so on. So the effect was the opposite one. Suppose the huts sat together and think about the intended and unintended consequence, probably they would have anticipated that the solution was bad. And that's the kind of things that we want to exercise and to do in the future when you are professional. Think in terms of problems in this way and try to think of what I want to achieve, what may else happen, and then you can find out if that is a good solution or a bad solution. The other thing that you can learn is, if there is some unintended effect that you have to accept because there is no way others, then you have to think as to how you can diminish the unanticipated effect. So for instance, in Mexico, they have thought, okay, it's likely that some people will buy a second car to drive there. What can I do against that? Or what can I do for motivate the people not to do that? So improve public transport, make it cheaper, whatever, incentives and disincentives in use. So, but in order to come that far, you have to analyze the problem. You need a model that clearly communicates what the essence is. And here I have to correct this, it's not in the share, but in the shade. Okay, in the shade of attention. Questions? Yeah?
The reinforcing time delay, the loops, are they always unintended?
No, it can be intended. We will see soon a number of examples as to this, different ways of reinforcing unintended. For instance, an intended reinforcing loop is, suppose you start a new company. What you want is your company grows and makes profit. So you want to reinvest what you have so that you do it better and better and better, sell more, do more services, get a bigger market share. So that is the reinforcing process that is intended. As to the delayed effects, They can occur several ways. So for instance, here you could also argue that the decreasing quality of the information security management system will not happen immediately. So perhaps we should add a delay here. This you can do easily and so on. But it was, for the time being, just an example to get started. But reinforcing means that some change somewhere, whether it is increase or decrease, it comes back in the same direction. But what is important to understand is that reinforcing loop can act in desired or undesired ways. It depends on if it is a good thing and you reinforce it, that's in the desired way. If it's a good thing, and you don't if it's a bad thing and you reinforce it, that is undesired way. And depending on that, we speak of virtuous circles or vicious circles. In Norwegian we say snill circle or und circle. In this case you have a vicious circle at the way it's working, because too much emphasis on security by technology does not fully achieve the desired effects. It leads the management to invest even more and more because it's not solving a problem. So you have a vicious circle and you come only halfway, or perhaps not even halfway. Now, reverting a vicious circle is not so easy, but what you could do in this case is try to mitigate the undesired effect. And a way of doing that could be by, at the same time that you're investing in technology, also investing on a better or maintaining or improving information security management systems. For this, you need some metrics, and one way is connect that to technology performance. So, it again, this depends on how the company is run and how the security manager thinks. But suppose the security manager ties the technology performance to developing a better security policy that will improve the information system management system. Then, by closing this, you have another loop. Let's find a loop. Security gap to technology investment, to technology integration, to technology performance, to security policy, to ISMS, to, well, I put here security, so I made actually a change. In my diagram, I had technology performance. It is, I see I have a slightly different version that I draw in Benzing. Both can be defended. It depends on where the impact goes. The important thing when you draw these diagrams is to argue for your where you think that the impacts go. But in any case, we have a closed loop. And how is this loop working? Assume that the security gap increases by some reason. More technology investment, more technology integration, more technology performance, more security policies to go in the same direction, more ASMS, more security. Or if you wanted, more technology performance, more security. So, more security, less security gap. So you have another balancing loop. And we call it B, attention to security management. Yes? No, I mean, it is not wrong. Remember, in this case, this is a picture of some process. And if the security manager uses as indicator technology investment, then you will put the link from security investment to security policies. Yes. It depends. So this is not a law of nature. We are trying to picture to depict how the company is thinking. So if you say, in my case, I assume that I have a very alert information security manager, who already couples technology investment with developing security policy. Yes, okay. And if you do that, then you get, in principle, the same effect. So let's think like this. Then you will have something like this. Plus, and this will continue to security plus, okay. And how will this loop be? It will be balancing, because more of this, less of this, and so on. So this is another balancing loop, and you put it here, balancing. Attention to security management. But now the loop is counterclockwise, the way I draw it, isn't that so? Or is it clockwise? It's counter. So this is perfectly okay. So the difference between this and the other diagram is that in this case, the chief information security officer has tied the development of security policy already to the investment. So he uses that as an indicator for monitoring or dealing with this. So in these diagrams, there are some things that are logical, mathematical, necessary by law of nature, but some other things are decisions and human actions, and people can be think differently and so on. So that's why in this case we have a different diagram as proposed by you. What is your name, by the way?
Tonya.
And you are here in the participants list, aren't you?
Yes.
And your name is
Henry.
Okay. And you are unique, or are there other Tonys? I'm curious. Participants. Tony Andreasen. And what are you? Where is your letter name? Down the list. Henry Teresby. Okay, then I have learned three new names. Varsha, Tonya, and Hendrik. Thanks for attending the course. I hope you enjoy this and you find it useful. And I like that you ask questions. This is very important. And if you now, when you read issues about information security, cases and so, and say, okay, I'll try to depict that by a causal loop diagram. Use the causal loop diagram by story. And you can tell a story now. You say, hi, this is a story about a company. Here, the chief information security officer decided to improve the security by setting higher goal for security. There was a security gap, and the decision was to address the security gap by investing more in technology, which was integrated with the system to improve the performance, and that resulted in improving the security. However, this guy forgot that it's very important also to have a good management system. So because of a too strong belief in security, in technology, the information security management system started to decline. With some delay, this affected security, or if you like, performance and then security. And therefore, security tended to increase, which means that you had a fight between a process trying to decrease the security gap and another reinforcing trying to increase that. And that's, of course, not a good idea. In the best case, this means less effective. In the worst case, it means perhaps that we are even getting worse and worse security. So what is the solution? Well, the solution is installing an active security policy so as to maintain or improve the information security management system. And then in our case, we assume that they manage things in terms of using the technology performance indicator, but it could be also already from here and so on. So you can draw different diagrams and discuss advantages and disadvantages. When we do a simulation model, then we could, with the simulation model, test which is the best, the most effective one of all, and perhaps abandon some solutions or improve some others one. But here you see already how these models help you in thinking about security, because you are connecting things together, and it leads to questions and discussions and to new things that need to be paid attention to. That's the one thing. And it teaches you about possible conflicts between different feedback loops, because the feedback loops, they are like engines driving something. This is churning around this way, this is churning around this way, and this is churning around this way, and they have different forces, and they are helping each other or fighting each other. For instance, these two balancing feedback loops, they go in the same direction. They are trying to improve security. The reinforcing is trying to, the opposite, is trying to decrease security. So you have issues like this. They are churning around all the time. About the strengths, that depends on the processes. Here, when you do a simulation model, then you will find out as to how it's working in practice, so that the simulation model matches reality. Then you can see what happens. But what you can say over time is that these loops, feedback loops, they will change in strength over time. Because when something changes here, that can change the impact of this loop and change the other loop and so on in some way. So typically what happens at some stage, some loop is very strong, then some other one becomes strong, and then some other one, perhaps still another one. So they are, over time, getting strength or losing strength and so on. And altogether they shape the behavior of what is happening. More about that when we start creating simulation models. Now, so I hope you have seen that these causal loop diagrams, they assist us in thinking. They let us translate cases to diagrams. They allow us to understand how the different factors in a case influence each other. They alert us as to possible unintended effects that are working against your desired solution. Then you have to decide as to whether the solution that for instance, in the Mexico case, if the authorities have thought about that in advance, maybe they say, no, forget it. Rationing traffic with colors won't work. That could have been one of the decisions, and then they would have not wasted millions and time and so on, and got much more pollution. Another option could be, yes, we have to do that, but now we have to find how to mitigate the undesired effect. What can we do so that the people do not buy second cars and pollute more? So improve public transport, create incentives for other cars, whatever. Or enforce the pollution measures of cars, so the technical control, so that they don't pollute if they have a second car that is old and so on. The point with these diagrams is to, first of all, to prevent costly mistakes. Second is you have to do something, understand as to what will be the opposing unintended effects so that you can mitigate them. And all this pays off. Experience has shown that using simulation models like this, whether qualitative or quantitative, that this pays off, because it is much, much cheaper to first test systems in a virtual world before you do them physically, than just going straight to a physical realization that fails. So in practice, it's found that the cost-benefit effect of simulation models is in the order 1 to 200. So one unit that you invest in that causes a gain of 200. That's empirical finding. Unfortunately, in many cases, people don't do that, and that's the reason why so many things go wrong. But then, later we will work with models that can be simulated, and this slide summarizes, maybe already with some words that you don't fully understand, but it should be the first alert. Later you will understand that fully. Causal loop diagrams have benefits and some disadvantages. The main benefits is that they help you think about a problem and translate that to concepts, conceptualize this. And they are very good for communication. The disadvantages is they are qualitative. So you can say, okay, we have opposing effects and we don't want this or whatever, and we have to mitigate this. And they can alert you about failures and so on. But the actual outcome, you can only get if you put numbers and equations in that so that you can simulate and see what happens. So from the diagram in the previous one here, we cannot say how strong this is relatively to this and how much of this is needed and so on. But you can draw the conclusion this is not a nice thing, because this is opposing the desired change, and we have to mitigate that in some way, like this, and so on. So they help us discover things, and perhaps even abandon bad ideas, or at least think of how to mitigate them. But they are purely qualitative, and they need to be supplemented if you want to get exact results with simulation models that use numbers and equations. The other thing is that compared to the equations and diagrams that we can simulate, and we call them stock and flow diagrams, so that's what this means, models, diagrams that can be simulated. When you work with causal loop diagrams, you don't have the same precision, because there are different type of factors that behave differently and that you capture with the stock and flow diagram, but not with causal loop diagrams. To the point that sometimes causal loop diagrams can be misleading. Not the way that I use them, because I know how to avoid these problems, but persons with less knowledge and experience may make mistakes. The other thing is, because we emphasize the ability to communicate and sacrifice detail and precision, causal loop diagrams can hide some very important information that do exist in the full diagrams that can be simulated. It has to do as to how they behave and so on. Here there are a number of things that you cannot understand at the moment, but it doesn't matter. The important thing at the moment is not the detail, it's rather that you start see there are some red lamps there, and that we will come back to that. So there are things that we have to learn later. In a sense, you can take that as an indication we have to go farther, and here are the beacons that tell us where to go. We have to understand stock and flow diagrams. We have to find the information that allows to understand well how the system behaves. So for simplicity, we suppress some information that will be there in the detail inspection. Among other things, time delays and processes. And again, because these processes are hidden feedback loops, that means that causal diagrams may have insufficient information. Still, the point that I wanted to make is that we can go quite far, with causal loop diagrams, especially if you use them mainly for starting, for discovering issues, for discussing issues and so on. And if you know, as we will do later, as to when you need to go further and use the stock and flow diagrams. Okay, just to summarize, in this morning you have already got a good initiation into models for information security. What we will do this afternoon is to go beyond, and I will tell you that there are four structures of causal loop diagrams that happen, you find them everywhere. They come back in all kinds of areas. If you become familiar with them, then you have a very powerful portfolio of models that you can use to analyze problems. They are very simple, but they come so often, and they consist of three things: the intended action and the intended consequence, who you want to achieve; the unintended impact of your action that happens all the time; and then how to solve the unintended, how to mitigate the unintended one. Intended versus unintended, and how to mitigate the unintended consequence. Those are the three things. Unintended consequences happen all the time. In complex systems, there are always unintended consequences. And I have a nice cartoon to that, but I have to find it, the English version, because I have it in Norwegian, I have it in German, and I think I have it in English, I hope. If not, I have to make it. Okay, so any questions at the end before we close for the morning? Yes? Well, if you had just a balancing loop working, then the balancing loop will behave trying to close some gap. So typically, a balancing loop will behave like this. Here you have the time. And you have here some factor, whatever it is, security, for instance. And you have here the goal or the desired value. Value for the factor, and then this factor will go like this or like this. It depends whether it comes from above or so. So if you only have the balancing loop, it's going like work. Very rarely you have just a system with only one loop. Typically there are many other factors going on. But as to changing, if you have some system that is behaving in some way and you want it to behave in a different way, then you can see what you can achieve by changing the different factors. And you could conceivably change something that is balancing into reinforcing and so on. But at the moment, also it depends on the system in what it is. In a technical system consisting of transistors and so on, you can always couple things differently so that they behave differently and so on. Did I answer your question? Ah, okay. Well, no, in this here, you do change the level of security because the actions that you are doing here, they change security. So by doing this, this affects security, this affects security, and so on. So you do change security here. Yes, it will, well, it even out, but this is what you want to achieve. So this is what you want to go. So it is here where you make the changes, so to speak. By influencing this, you put everything in motion. Okay, good. Then thank you for your attendance and interest. And let's stick together, and then you